This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
This is the Breakfast Grill, and I'm Wong Xiaoning. Today we have with us Dato' Azman Ismail, the Managing Director of Plus Malaysia Berhad. Plus, a familiar name, is the toll concessionaire of five major highways in the country, most known for its 772-kilometre north-south expressway connecting Bukit Kayu Hitam to Johor Bahru. Good morning, Dato' Azman. Shall we start with the elephant in the room? In the Pakatan Manifesto, Promise 6 was to abolish toll companies. Since Pakatan formed the government in May 2018, has there been any talks on this?
What the government has done so far is undertaking a study, appoint a consultant to undertake a study about what should be the future of the toll industry be. And that study is quite an elaborate one. We have the opportunity to be engaged and to provide input, our views in terms of what the plans are. And I believe soon the government will be presenting that study to the cabinet, and obviously a decision should be made in that manner.
So at this moment, is it unknown what the government's plans are?
No, I mean we have provided input. I think it's still up to the government to decide what should be the future of the toll industry would be.
So there still remains a risk that the Pakatan will eventually keep this promise of abolishing tolls, right?
I mean, until a confirmation comes in, I rather not speculate, right? Although you hear what the Prime Minister has said in recent times. But until a statement being made by the government, it's still a speculation until confirmation comes into play.
Okay, if we look at the Pakatan Harapan's manifesto also in Promise 6, it's also stated that monopolistic companies like PLUS must be stopped. That was the language used, that the government will renegotiate lopsided agreements. So even assuming that there is no abolishing of tolls in your case, do you think there will be a relook at your current concession agreement?
What we have today is a valid concession agreement between the company and the government. And in the concession agreement, it spells out a certain obligation by both the concession as well as the government. And with that concession agreement, we have utilized the government for us to securitize loans, right? So it is not merely a matter between the concession company and the government. It's also a situation where the financiers, the bondholders, needs to come into play. Now, clearly, whatever the government wish to do is the prerogative of the government, right? But what's important is we have a valid concession agreement, and any deviation or any deviation to the concession agreement, it needs to be looked into the context of that valid concession agreement. And that needs to be agreed upon, negotiated, or whatever the case may be, or even remedied in accordance to whatever provisions allowed for in the concession agreement.
We all know that changing this concession agreement will involve a very complicated process, right? Mm-hmm. Like you say, with the bondholders, even with the shareholders of PLUS and the government. But it's not an impossibility, is it?
It is not. But there are many ramifications if such a thing were to happen. And I think the government obviously has considered, which will consider all this situation before a final decision is being made.
Which then comes to a larger question with regards to capital markets. Mm-hmm. I think we saw when Pakatan Harapan came into government and they changed certain policies, like for example, with regards to the telecommunication sector. We did see share price of telecom come under pressure. So if in the case of PLUS, if it was nationalised, for example, what do you think the ramifications are on the capital markets?
I think the ramification is going to be quite significant because the concession agreement, as I said, was obviously made available to the bondholders for them to be able to provide us the loans, right? It is a long term. It is not a short term, tenure. Hence, the bondholders would have calculated certain risks that they are prepared to take based on the concession agreement. The sanctity of the contract is very, very crucial in this respect because it has ramification if it's not. I think more importantly as well, I think the government certainly will consider the fact that whatever they do not want to set a precedent. And then this is a situation where it's not just not wanting to set precedents, but you also want to make sure the harmony that has been created between all parties, including the bondholder, the capital market. And these are situations that we need to keep. Because we continue need to make sure that the trust level of the capital market towards what has happened so far will be intact. As I said earlier, there's a lot of ramification if indeed that decision is made.
The other thing is that even assuming concession agreement is continued, and we know that at this juncture, I mean, Tun Mahathir has been quoted in the press that saying that it will cost as much as 30 billion to privatise plus. With our current weak fiscal position, okay, the abolishment of tolls, I think maybe is not on such a high priority list. But can we expect other measures the government might do, for example, toll rate freezes or even abolishment of tolls along certain stretches? Because we saw that with the Batu Tiga, Sungai Rasau, and or even abolishing tolls for motorbikes, like what was done on Penang Bridge. Is that something the government can actually consider?
Well, I think, let me take one by one. If I take the Batu Tiga Sungai Rasau or even the motorcycle at Penang Bridge and Lim Kedua, all that comes with the compensation. So it is, although it is deemed as a breach, but there is a remedy, and the remedy is via compensation. Hence, in that respect, the compensation will neutralise the position of the concession and therefore allow the concession company, in this case Plus, to continue to service the debt that we have made commitment to the bond market. Now, as to whether that we can reduce any further toll rates and so on, as we have here today, there are certain projected toll increases in accordance to the concession agreement. Now, the government certainly has the right not to increase it. But again, if those toll rates are not increased, the compensation needs to kick in. Because what's important is, as the time progresses in the tenure of the contract, there are also obligations that the concession company needs to make sure, particularly with respect to servicing the loan, is maintained. Now, the financial market, the capital market, understands clearly about the timing and when these toll rates need to increase in accordance to the original agreement. And there are certain obligations that concession company needs to obviously fulfill, of which including principal interest, interest payment and principal needs to be paid. And this amount will be graduating upwards in accordance to the expected toll rate increases. So any of those not happening, in accordance to the concession agreement, therefore compensation needs to kick in. Because otherwise, as a concession company, we will have situation, difficulty to fulfil our debt obligation that's due to the capital market.
Which then leads to this question, right? Because if we look at how much revenue Plus sets aside for financing, it's about 50% to pay the cost of all the debt, the bulk of it being the 30 billion ringgit Sukuk bond. So the question is there a better model? For example, I have read, would a highway trust be a better model in the sense that the government buy back all the debt of Plus, privatise it, and then reissue a highway trust?
But I think you should look at it from a bigger story, a bigger picture. It's about, if indeed that is what the government wants to do, then clearly there is a huge amount of money needs to obviously put aside for the government to buy back. Then I guess the question with the current physical situation the government has, it's not my call, it's obviously the government's call to decide where best place the debt payment or the liability the government wants to undertake. You see, the toll highway use the concept pay as per use, and that certainly is very equitable to whoever wants to use the toll highway, they use it, and therefore they should be able to enjoy the values they get out of the toll highway. There are always roads which is toll-free, the federal roads, and those are roads which are obviously available as an alternative. In fact, those federal roads are the main roads, and the toll highway is essentially an alternative for those who wish to pay for the services or the values that it provides. Now, I think the situation as to whether the government wants to nationalise this is always a situation on looking at the fiscal situation of the government in terms of where should money being used and best placed at certain moment of time. I think that's always been the situation that we should be in. Clearly, there are many states in Malaysia where there's no toll highway, and certainly you don't want to deprive those states from getting the necessary development funds that they're supposed to get, right? So, whereas if you just were to focus on the West Coast or Peninsula, where majority of the toll highways are located, so you can see there's going to be other imbalance in terms of how the government's, the country resources are being played out or even being shared equitably across all states in Malaysia.
I mean, Dato, you brought up a valid point that there are alternatives for users. They can always use the federal road rather than the plus highways. But there's this conflict of interest between plus, in a way, because ultimate shareholders are UEM and EPF, mm-hmm. right? Whose targets are maximizing returns. But yet highways on some level are there for the public good, right? To connect places, and from there, there should be multiplier effects on the economy. So what is the best balance of achieving this commercial and societal good?
And plus has always been about making societal goods. Yes, because of the development of the plus highways 30 years ago, there has been many new township has evolved. I can name a few: Bandar Sarjana Putra, Alu Pongsu up north, Pago in the south. Those towns were small in the hinterland. So access to those towns were very difficult. But with the plus highway, those towns has got easier access, and therefore has also created value. And that has always been the purpose of why plus exists. It's about how do we help the hinterland, how do we make sure that certain location, apart from just what's so-called very obvious of moving people from certain location to another location, but it's also the social impact about how we make sure the communities along the highway also benefit in that respect. There has always been that the social benefit of what plus is. Now, in terms of maximizing so-called benefit, that comes at a situation where we make sure we minimize leakage. We look at how we can further improve in terms of our efficiency and effectiveness, how we do things, and so that we can always keep costs down. And as soon as we're able to keep costs down based on whatever toll rate that we have, that value that we create from it, that's where basically shareholders get the return, right? So that fundamental about making sure that the society impact are being looked at or being reviewed has always been the fundamental where PLUS exists all this while.
I've been speaking to Dato' Azman Ismail, Managing Director of PLUS Malaysia Berhad. After the break, we will be discussing whether PLUS's dominance is under threat with the government's emphasis on public transport, especially trains. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Dato' Azman Ismail, Managing Director of PLUS Malaysia Berhad. Earlier, we were talking about Promise 6 of Pakatan Harapan's manifesto, and what does it mean for PLUS? Do you currently charge the toll rates as per the concession agreement for all five highways you operate?
Yes, we have not had toll hikes for over since 2005. So that has been the rate that has been fixed all this while. And there has not been any toll hike ever since, right? So that so the toll rates that we charge now is back in 2005. For every subsequent period where we're supposed to have toll hike, there has been compensation being made by the government.
So very simply, if I'm not wrong, there is a 5% increase every three years, right? But in other words, the government pays you back the differential between the rate you charge the users of the highway and what is per the concession agreement. Right. How does the compensation mechanism actually work?
Well, the compensation comes from actual cash. Mm-hmm. Okay, and on an annual basis, all our traffic volume will be validated by the regulator, in this case, the Malaysian Highway Authority. And there is a certain formula already embedded in the concession agreement about how the compensation is calculated. And that's just continue to follow through that kind of formula.
Has there ever been a delay in terms of payment? Because there is a time cost to money, right?
Indeed, there has been some delay, but we have been working very hard in trying to make sure that the payment is as current as possible, right?
And there is, at this current moment, do you think any possibility that they will not pay you the differential, the compensation?
Not the information I've got so far. The commitment I've heard from the government is, yeah, whatever compensation is due in accordance to the concession agreement will be paid.
Let's move on to maintenance of the PLUS highways. I looked at the Malaysian Rating Corporation, or MARC, report on PLUS for 2018. And they forecasted capex and heavy repairs for 2019 at 880 million ringgit, which is not a small sum. Is this done in-house by yourselves, or is it outsourced to a third party?
The maintenance is done by our service provider, Agenta Propel. And we have a very so-called regimented way of looking at how maintenance are needed. The huge expense with respect to maintenance is respect to the pavement. You got to realize that this pavement is already 30 years old. There's been lots of vehicle applying to it, and therefore, heavy investment are needed to make sure the pavement continues to be meeting the international standard. Hence, there is always a program in terms of a certain period of time, certain stretch of the pavement needs to be so-called repaired. Either you move, either they call it the pavement structure overlay, or even things about where we had to do whatever that's necessary to make sure that we still continue to meet the roughness index and so on and so forth. So those are things that we put in place on a very regimented basis, and we implement that always on a regular basis. So if you ever drive along the PLUS highway, you'll probably see a certain stretch of the highway have been closed, a few lanes have been closed. It's all about making sure that we are able to sustain the pavement condition as per the regulation.
The reason why I'm asking this is because in 2017, there was a proposal by Maju Holdings, right, to take over PLUS. Maju said they didn't need to implement any toll hikes because there will be sufficient savings from lower maintenance costs. So the question is, do you overspend?
No, let me respond by saying that we did a certain benchmark of our maintenance costs. And we found our benchmark of the maintenance costs, looking at it domestically, also looking at it in a regional basis. We are obviously not the lowest, but we are obviously also not the highest. I think that's the important point. Now, you got to also account for the fact it is 30 years old, and no other toll highway in Malaysia has aged that long. And hence, the level of maintenance to be put in. Also, the level of the maintenance investment that we put in is not just about the pavement, it's also about the slope. And the superstructure, the bridges that we put through, and the culverts that we have to go through. And these are things that will require so-called constant monitoring, particularly about the slope. If you travel from Kuala Lumpur up north, you will probably note that the alignment goes through quite undulating terrains. Menorah Tunnel is one example of that, right? So, and hence, and to ensure that the respective slopes are well monitored and kept, and we don't want any landslide to happen, those are things that requires also massive amount of monitoring. So today, in order for us to be able to optimize costs, we are now using drones, flying drones along those stretch, and to look at the monitoring of our slopes, ensuring that we are able to have a historical view and we can see what other changes has happened on a monthly or even on a regular basis in terms of movement of the earth.
So there realistically is no way that you could cut costs so low that there will be no need for toll rate increases.
Not possible, right? Because you got to, as I said, the pavement is quite 30 years old. The slope needs to be looked at, needs to be monitored, because you don't want any of that to happen. Unless, as you travel, you don't want landslides to happen and so on and so forth. Those are, to us, are very fundamental, and these are ensuring that the roads, the highway is always safe, not just from the pavement, but also from all aspects of the highway, including the slopes.
And then meanwhile, we know that the government is encouraging greater use of public transport. And we see that in terms of the initiative, especially with regards to rail. We are going to have the East Coast Rail Link and perhaps maybe the high-speed rail link from Singapore to Kuala Lumpur. But even if we just look at the current options or alternatives, we have West Coast Highway just open a small section on Saturday, right? And there is already an intercity train service between Padang Besar and Perlis to Johor Bahru. How do you see all these other alternatives?
Okay. So, indeed, if you want to look at from who our main competitors are, our main competitors is not another highway. Our main competitors is an alternative mode of transport, in this case, the rail, budget airlines, and so on. And therefore, I think, although we look at that as a competitor, but I think from a customer perspective, it is providing the customer a choice, depending on the necessary mode of transport, depending what their needs are and where they want to travel to. They have many, many modes of transport for them to get to the destination. The only, perhaps, so-called gap is the last mile destination, right? Because if either you use the train or use the airline, you always have to go to either the airport or to the train station. It probably will not take you to the last mile. I know there's been a lot of collaboration happening with other modes of transporters in trying to build the last mile. I think that's fine. And I think what's important is what highway provides is the ability to do discretionary travel. And there's no need for you to pre-plan your journey and pre-book your flight ticket or pre-book your rail ticket. It gives you the discretionary travel time that whatever you like to do. Right?
Which is true. When you feel like going to Ipoh for the day, you can just get in your car and off you go.
Off you go. And that's always been the situation what the highway has provided. So in respect to WCE, we look at WCE as being a complementer. Now, many of the people, highway users, potentially has in the past have looked at alternative mode of transport because of the congestion that we face. Now, with WCE, maybe not now, maybe in the future when they're fully open, then WCE is a complementer. Now it provides for those who likes to do discretionary travel more options in terms of road travel by road to get to their destination. They can use Plus Highway, they can use WCE to get to their destination. So therefore, the need to have pre-planned travel either by rail or by plane is getting less. So therefore, it creates a wider options to the road users. So we look at them as our complementer in this respect.
I've been speaking to Dato Azman Ismail, Managing Director of Plus Malaysia Berhad. After the news, we'll be discussing safety and all the improvements Plus will be making to make the highway experience better. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Dato Azman Ismail, Managing Director of Plus Malaysia Berhad. Earlier, we were talking about the possibility of a toll rate freeze and the thorny issue of compensation. And we cannot talk about highways without considering safety, right? That's a very important consideration. I think in Malaysia, we unfortunately have one of the highest road death accident rates in the world. So what can or is PLUS doing to reduce this figure? Or is this a problem for authorities and a lack of enforcement?
Well, we look at it in holistic perspective. And when we look at one thing to make sure that people are safe on the road, it's not just about the road user. We also look at our own people that works. I mean, our contractor, our service provider. Because they also deserve a life. Yeah. And essentially, we go on a tagline that everyone needs to go home safe, regardless who you are. So we look at it and we apply a 3E approach, which is engineering, enforcement, and education. And this is one... I think the names are quite self-explanatory in what it means. And these are elements where we can help. When it comes to enforcement, obviously we don't have enforcement powers. And therefore we work collaboratively with the enforcement agencies like the JPJ and the PDRM. And they are the ones who basically can help. What's important is we need their help and they also need our help to make sure that this entire ecosystem becomes safe. And whatever lacking in terms of tools that we can help them to make sure they can do their job better. And that's what we do in order to help them, in providing whatever necessary tools so that they can enforce whatever that's the current regulation with respect to road safety rules in Malaysia. We have an audacious goal of wanting to be able to reduce by half of the fatalities that we face along Plus Highway. And we work hand in hand, not just looking at with the enforcement agencies, but we also continuously looking at what other new technology that we can introduce to ensure that, importantly for the road users and whoever works on the Plus Highway ecosystem, they feel safe working on our system. So technology like video analytics and video CCTV with video analytics capability and so on, these are elements that we look at. Or even using radar to trying to pick up foreign objects that's left on the highway. And these are things that we're trying to do in order for us to be able to make sure the journey as our road users get through from point A to their destination, to wherever their destination would be, is not only safe, they feel safe, they also be comforted, and also we'll take care of them every step of the way.
You know, that's why I've travelled during non-peak and peak times, especially now, we're coming up to the Raya season. And I have to say, I dread going to the toilet at rest stops, right? I mean, it's a common complaint, especially for women, you know, incredibly long lines, dirty, wet toilets. Is Plus doing something about this to improve the rest stop experience?
Yes. In the short term, what we have also done, I mean, yes, along the festive period, the RSA is going to be, the rest stop is going to be quite packed and jammed. We have put in additional portable toilets. I think those are short term. Even in the second short term, we also, what we've done is we have spruced up our toll plaza. So another stop to where road users can actually stop for their hygiene break. They can use our toll plaza and, you know, exit the highway, go to the nearest toll plaza. In there, there's always going to be a toilet that's needed, whoever that that can help you. There's also a surah for you to be able to do your prayers. As soon as you finish whatever that you need to do, you can always come back into the highway and continue your journey. So those are added additional element. But more importantly is we recognize and we realize that and in order for us to be able to provide comfort to our road users is for us to also revamp our rest and service areas. And we are looking at providing comfort of our rest and service areas to a world-class standard. So we have sent a lot of our people overseas to look at what are some of the other methodology or approach that the rest and service areas outside of Malaysia, in Australia, in Europe, and in Japan. And now we are formulating a new plan. And now you probably will see, if things go as planned, will be next year, the construction of a new RSA at Seremban southbound. That plans to take place after in the month of February or March next year, and where we're going to completely revamp and put in very contemporary design of and provide higher level of comfort to our road users with a variety of food offering and as well as services that's needed. And of course, you know, when it comes to festive period, it probably will not be all the answers. But importantly, even in during festive period, what we're trying to be able to achieve is at least the journey is more pleasant as to compare what you just described just now, being very grateful. We want it to be as pleasant as we can. I'm not going to promise you that during festive period you'll be able to still get to your destination in the period or in the same timeline as non-festive. I cannot promise you that, but at least the journey that you have through during the festive period is more pleasant as to compare to what it is facing today.
And now Plus has gone cashless, right? So everyone is forced to use touch and go. But in some ways, is this fair? Because you have a 20% stake in touch and go. And in other countries, they are also, everyone is going cashless. Every toll system is going cashless. But they sometimes have a more open payment system. So why don't we have one in Malaysia?
I think that's been looked at now. So I think the plans are in place in within this year. Those open payment probably will come into play, right? So maybe that's the point I just want to emphasize, that many modes of payment will be made available, and I think that's what the road users want. And that's also one of the pain points that we continuously face with our road users. And here is where we utilize technology and how we can enhance the experience of making payment at our toll plaza.
Because you've also introduced RFID, right? But there are some complaints from users who recently bought their touch and their smart tag for 100 ringgit, and now you have this RFID, which is actually free. So, you know, it's like sometimes we have this question whether we are at the mercy of highway operators and we have to keep changing the way we pay.
No, I think the RFID still is in a pilot stage. And therefore, and I know what they're doing today, what we are doing today is we are just expanding the pilot to more users because we want to be able to test the propensity of the system to high level of transaction. You know, just to give you one example, at Plus, our transaction is 1.5 million transactions on a daily basis. So whatever system we put in place, it has to be able to cater that kind of propensity. And hence, what you see here today is the pilot, so that we are able to test the system to that kind of propensity. Now, I think the smart tag, as you were saying today, it's more difficult to get that in the market because I don't think that's to be made available now. What we are also making available is the use of the card, the smart card. Maybe that's only for a temporary usage. So if anyone do not wish to buy the smart card, I mean, you can still continuously top up the value in your
IC. Yes, it's in the IC,
you're right. It's also right. An IC, and that's FOC free, mm-hmm. right? So those are options available. But I guess whoever wants to buy the Touch and Go card is a choice that they have in that respect.
Thank you for your time today, Dato' Azman, on this very timely discussion as many Malaysians make their way home on the roads today and in the next few days to celebrate Hari Raya with their loved ones. I'm Wong Xiaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, now with wider 4G LTE reach. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.